understanding and learning God's justice.
A lot of people don't understand or know of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we have to have the fear of God. We have to have the fear of God to understand Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, our scripture text was coming from the back of the second chapter, starting with the fourth verse through the third chapter in the 19th verse. Whereas it starts off on that fourth verse, that the upright, it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." We know that a lot of people quote that scripture and talk about being justified in Christ, by being justified. I'm talking the Bible study the other night, where the word of justified, justification means, and that it's a legal process. It's a legal process in which God is able to realign us with Him through Christ. Jesus Christ's death, in effect, finishes it and reconciles us to God. It puts us in proper perspective with God. Justification, as I told you, is alignment with God. That we'll be able to follow with God and walk with God. The only way you can walk with God is that if the two agree. And that agreement came because of the death of one of us, which was by our substitutionary sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He died, and to those that would believe on Him and have faith in Him, it says, He justified those. In other words, He says, "Father, I died for them. It was required that they die, but my death, my sinless death, I'm going to impute that unto them." In other words, it's a one-time process, whereas His righteousness is imputed unto us. He placed that upon us. Now, what we have to do after receiving that righteousness is that we have to live by faith after that. We have to live by faith after that imputation of righteousness. A lot of people about talking about the thief on the cross and how did he get in, and what they don't realize, if the thief on the cross had to live, he'd have had to have works, and he'd have had to been doing works. He'd have had to been following Jesus Christ. So when they use the thief on the cross as an example of someone that didn't have to do anything to be saved or whatever, that's the same way with any of us. Nothing we can do is to earn salvation or be justified before God. It's something that is imputed upon us. And as he believed, Jesus Christ imputed his righteousness unto him, which justified him. But to us who, after he has justified, then we have to rise up and walk in the newness of life. We have to have repentance. We have to change. Our reading scripture that came from Matthew the 11th chapter and the 29th verse says, "Then Jesus said, Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." So he's the way. He's the only way into the rest of God, into rest, into salvation. Jesus Christ is that way. But he says, "Come unto me," and as you take that yoke, as you go under and place your burdens up on him, he says, "Learn of me. Let me teach you." So there's a requirement there. That's what I want to talk about when I talk about justification here. Justification. You see, I say that we have to have an understanding and learning of God to be able to, how can I say this, continue on in this process of salvation, because justification within itself is not salvation complete. Let me kind of open that up for you. In other words, we have to come to terms to get an understanding of how God operates. We have to learn of God. That takes having fellowship with Him. You have to have fellowship with someone to know of them, to learn of them. That's what some of my children are lacking. That's what a lot of young people are lacking nowadays. They don't know their parents. They don't know their relatives. They don't know people. In other words, they're not taking the time to have a relationship with these people, a fellowship. In other words, a lot of people know of their grandfathers, of their fathers or mothers, but they don't know them intimately or personally. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to make us His disciples. If you look back in the time, the disciples were the ones that would abandon their way of life and they would live with the teacher, live with the master. And that's what Jesus does. He comes to live within us so that He would be with us at all times and that He would guide us and lead us into all truth. So when children grow up, a lot of times they don't seek their parents advice, they don't seek older people's advice under a number of counselors. And the problem with that is they don't get to know who their father is. They don't get to know their mother or their parents or whatever. Just coming by once or twice every month or a week or two or every so often, you still don't know that person intimately. And I was telling my brother yesterday, it was someone I was talking to yesterday, and they was talking about Mother's Day. One of these people I was talking to is not even a parent. And they were saying what they were going to do for Mother's Day. And I asked, well, what's I doing for Mother's Day? And I said, well, that's just a day that man gave you to celebrate. And that you don't understand that day. And through man's tradition, you don't even know anything about Mother's Day. And I don't appreciate or like the women that go along with them to help establish that day either. I say every day is Mother's Day with me and my wife is that she's the mother of my children every day. My mother was my mother every day. And that the women that allow their children or whatever just to come in that one day and give them a gift, take them to dinner or do something. As the Bible says, a bribe blinded. In other words, that doesn't make your child necessarily love you or care for you because they came by on Mother's Day or Father's Day or Easter or Christmas to say something to you or do something for you. Where were you 2 weeks ago when I was sick or ill and I couldn't get up or I couldn't do this or do that? But you stop off one day a year and that makes you a good son or daughter because you did something for me that one day that you came by Christmas or Mother's Day or whatever. So now I still feel like you're a son. See, in other words, that doesn't justify you by you just doing something that one time. In other words, it would be a process of you coming by checking on me all the time. It would be a process on seeing do I need help or coming to me and treating me as a parent, as somebody that you did leave home, but you do care about my well-being. You call me every once in a while and ask how I am doing. See, we need to talk with Jesus Christ. We need to talk with Him. Consistent communication is how we learn of Him and understand Him. You know, we don't understand the aches and pains our parents or someone makes, and then we still say that that's our father or mother. In name only, that's what you is, your name, your father or mother. I see some other people more often than you see your children or whatever. Those in the church, a lot of times, that's why Jesus said, who is my father, who is my sister or brother, but those that do the will of my father. In other words, it's a lot of people that come up and say, well, how's your wife doing? Well, how's you doing? How this person doing? And they constantly call you and they say, well, look, I just called to check on you to see how you're doing. But a lot of times our kids won't even call just to check on us.
They won't come by just to spend 4 or 5 minutes with us, just for us to see us. You know, you bring someone into the world, you're not wanting anything from them or whatever, but it would be good to see them time to time, for them to just come by sometime. And they don't have to even bring anything or do anything, but just come by and just talk to us a minute or two. I think that more or less, by that process, I would say, well, that's why that person was justified. God justifies us for a reason or a purpose. And that reason or purpose is that we would go on to do good works. That we would go on to do good works. But a lot of people follow the people of the world and the things of the world. And we start acting like the world and doing like the world and treating our parents, treating our friends, treating everybody else as though the world do, because we're following after evilness and wickedness. And that's how, you know, sometimes you recuperate because you almost slip off that ledge following the world, acting and doing as the world do. This congregation is an older congregation, and a weaker congregation, a sicklier congregation. In other words, I have to realize a lot of times I give you a lot of reading and study to do, but I know a lot of time, because we don't have but a small amount of time, people aren't like they used to be. They used to just stay in church for hours at a time. That's what happened to Paul when he was preaching one night. The young man fell out of the window or whatever, because after working hard all day, they still would go to church for a long length of time. So, but, you know, I'm on sermon audio and different facets of teaching and preaching, and people's understanding ain't where you could hold their understanding for any length of time now. But a lot of this, I read the whole scripture, the whole passage, because, well, these older people, they're not going to be able to go home and read that whole scripture and get the understanding out of it. Some of them, their eyes are bad. They have different problems or whatever. So I try to read as much as I can and give you as much as I can. I think that's why when you say justified, it contains a lot of works. See, we have to start using our body, ourselves, our lives as living sacrifices. In the book of Psalms, I told you the other night, a lot of people have their favorite psalm. Who knows what Psalm 73 is? That's a psalm written by Asaph. Asaph was a leading musical singer that David had appointed. Listen to what Asaph said in the Psalm 73. He says, "Truly God is a God, is good to Israel, to those hearts whose peer. But as for me, I almost lost my footing and my feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jewel necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people, enjoying life of ease while their riches multiply." And that's what we're doing now. Instead of listening at our parents with that old-time religion, we're looking at this new religion where they're preaching prosperity. They have their new cause. They're in perfect. They're in good health and everything. And say, if you're not good, have this and that there, you don't have any faith. They're not in pains. You know, our bodies are racked with pain. Some of them have back pain, knee pain, foot pain, eye pain, all kinds of problems and troubles, all kinds of shortages and finances and all kinds of bad health and everything. And you look at the wicked and they're going to church and they're living and they're saying such arrogant and proud words. I was talking to a preacher the other day and he was talking in such an arrogant, high-minded way because of his good health and at his age. At 80-some years old, and he was still saying this and that. And I said, still, he doesn't realize, that's why I don't really come around him a whole lot or be around him that much, is he don't understand and know of God. That doesn't mean that you following God. And see, that's what Asaph is saying. Our children, a lot of us had almost slipped and fell into this and apostatized and went to all these other churches that's teaching and preaching this, and you hadn't went into the sanctuary of the true God. Well, he said he almost slipped until he went in the church and heard the true preaching of the gospel. Heard the true word of God. And that's what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk was confused, and he was almost gone because he seen the evil that was befalling the so-called people of God. He seen the people around him that were supposed to be God's people having so much terrible calamity in their lives. The health was failing them. The finances weren't right. Their kids wasn't following them. They were separated and broken homes. And he asked God, why, God, how much more of this could go on? How long can this go on? After talking and praying with God, he came to understanding of God and learning of God. That's what we have to do. And I talked about that in previous lessons, preaching, to get to understanding. First is to learn to fear God. It's to fear God. That's the beginning of knowledge and understanding. And he was resolved then that he came to understanding about God. It made him feel a little bit more comfortable and at ease. Let's continue on here, the 13th verse, so I can finish reading this psalm for y'all who hadn't read the whole psalm and studied it. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. My feet hurt. Back hurts, all kinds of problems and things, all the time. If I'm doing all this for nothing, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked had prospered. But what a difficult task it is. But then I went into the sanctuary, O God, and finally I understood the destiny of the wicked. You put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cleft to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a perfect person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom I have in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everybody about the wonderful things you do. That's Asaph. He said his health may fail, but now since God had opened up his understanding, he understands the end of the wicked in that man is as a vapor. All that partying, all that life living is only for a little while. God's the judge. God's justice is true and his word is true. He had almost came to the wrong conclusion and he had wondered, was he living that the way he was living all his life for nothing? Was it coming to naught? But then God comforted him and opened up his understanding and he realized why God had did what he did and about God's justice. That's why I say we have to learn of God's justice to understand why God allows evil to exist. Why he allows trouble and problems to come about is that justice delayed doesn't mean that justice is not brought forth, that justice doesn't happen. Sometimes he delays his just punishment on people, but God has a reason and a time for everything that he does. Everything that God does in his own good time.
So we have to not hurry God. We have to come to understanding of God. The only way we could do that is through the second point. That's His Word. The preparation of the gospel of peace. I tell you that we have to learn of God and understand God. And a lot of people that so-called Christian and sometimes our relatives and people mean good. So we have to understand, though they mean good, we have to see that we're not warring against flesh and blood, but the things that they say sometimes can persuade us to not know of God and not understand God. That's why we have to learn God for ourselves. We have to learn His Word for ourselves. We have to personally know God. And because sometimes it's so-called people that fear God and follow God that put you on the wrong path. And that's what happened with the Jewish people. Even though they were given the oracles of God, they didn't know God. Like a lot of people now, they pursue God through works. They talk about tithing. They talk about to go to church all the time. They talk about the good works they do. It's those that say, did not feed the needy, did not cast out devils, did not do all this. But they didn't actually know God. See, because just because you have works or just because circumstances have given you a blessed life, just because you enjoy good health, doesn't mean you know God. The book of Romans talks of the Jewish people. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 1st through the 4th verse. We'll read that in the Living Translation. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know that their enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's ways of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in Him are made right with God." That's a mouthful of that. In other words, this same minister that I was talking with, he don't realize that baptism doesn't save you. Good works doesn't save you. All that you do, none of that saves you. You're saved by grace. It's by the grace of God. And the justification, the process in which God justifies you, and Jesus Christ says, this one is right, is imputed to you by Him. He places you in right standing. It's nothing you did. It's no reward or nothing of you. So no matter how zealous you are in work, it's a lot of religion that goes out there and kill other people. Right now, today, there's a lot of people bombing abortion clinics, fighting against homosexuality, fighting against a whole lot of things, and they're dying for the name of Jesus, but this doesn't save them. Though you give your body to be burned, that doesn't save you. That doesn't prove that you're saved. Jesus Christ had accomplished that purpose of salvation through His death. That's the only thing that saved us, His death. That's the only thing that made us just. There's nothing you could do. So don't ask to do no works or whatever. You know, you might not have been created to do that particular work you want to do. So works can't save you. That's why I was telling you about the thief on the cross. He need not do any works to be saved. You understand that. Now, let me get you to understand that. None of that saves you. We're justified by Jesus Christ. Noah, during his time, Noah was saved by grace. If you look at Lot's tainted life, you'll see that it says just Lot, a righteous Lot. That's because God imputed His righteousness to him. God said he was right. God said Job was an upright man, one that is shown to even fear God. It's what God says that matters, not what you do. Misunderstanding God, no matter how hard you fight against to establish the Bible, talking about the Ten Commandments and all these things, that doesn't save you. That's not going to do any good. Moses, he rose up, he slew the Egyptian because he was fighting against one of his brothers. I didn't save Moses. That made Moses a murderer. We can't do evil and think good's going to come from it. Moses had to flee for his life then. That wasn't how God determined that he wanted to save the people of Israel, by Moses coming up being a fearless warrior or whatever. See, that's why a lot of the Jews didn't accept Jesus Christ. He wasn't that avenging Messiah that they thought was going to come and put down the Roman Empire and do all this killing. He laid down his life and he died, and that disappointed them. For them, Jesus Christ became a stumbling block. For a lot of us, Jesus Christ is a stumbling block because they don't know Christ. They don't know Jesus. There's another Jesus being preached and taught, and that's not the one that had justified us. They hadn't learned of him. So as much as the Jews fight, that's not getting them anywhere. We have to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a process. That's a process by where we grow to God and learn of God. But we have to been justified first. The justification is that legal process that gives us or clothes us in his righteousness, whereby then we could fight a good fight of faith. But you have to have the knowledge of God. The zeal of the Jews doesn't make you, just because you love the Bible, you love church, you love God, that doesn't save you. Jesus Christ has to justify you. He has to put you in proper standing. He says, then are you my disciples if you continue in my word. If you continue in the word of God. So that means you have to be a doer of his word. But you can't be outside of the church. You can't be outside of Christ. You have to continue in his word. By continuing his word, meaning being a doer of the word, doing of the things of the, and by living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, you can't be living contrary to the word of God. You see where by knowing Christ, walking in Christ, that justification causes you to be right in God's sight, because then you're not a lawbreaker, but you're not depending on the law to save you or keep you. You're depending on Jesus Christ and his word. Faith in Christ, in the faith of Christ. That's how you have the ability to do those things, because you trust in yourself to Christ and to what he said and to what he tell you to do. You're being led by his spirit into all truth. That's the way. That's why he said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life, and no man coming unto the Father but by me. This is the only way. It's no other way. Now, anywhere I go in the world, that's the gospel I would have to preach. My feet have to be shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. You see, in that preparation, that's what God does. He prepares us to fight a good fight. Job was prepared to fight a good fight. That's because walking in the word of God, obeying and doing what God say do. That's the way Habakkuk learned of God. See, you can't be a lawbreaker now. Understand that you can't be a lawbreaker and be strengthened in God, but you can't be legalistic and try to apply that law to everybody and everything, because you're not a doer of, you're not a judge of the law. Only Christ is the judge, and we have to trust ourselves unto the judge. Now, when I say our feet has to be shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, I gave you a sheet saying, keep in silent. And I've been telling you, God may not have made you to speak or say anything in certain situations. That's why a lot of people are not saying anything now. That's why this is an evil and wicked time we're living in. It's a dangerous time. Right here from this church, I don't know how many of you know it or not, but this church, sitting right here, there was a young lady that lived, that used to be a trailer park right down here where Nichols has their, that lot there. It used to be a trailer park there. there was a young lady that witnessed a murder, and this young lady was to testify. The police and a lot of things, and I tell you, as this city and as the cities in the nation become more corrupt and corrupt, justice gets out of hand, and justice is corrupt. And what happens when justice is corrupt, the people get more wicked and evil. This young lady was supposed to testify. Some way or another, her name got out that she was doing this. And they found her body right over there by Monsanto Lake, that river, that thing over there, that canal over there. Someone had killed her. During that time of Amos, that's why a lot of people wasn't saying anything. That's why a lot of people are not coming forth as witnesses today. Because justice is not protecting them. There are a lot of people that are murdered. They was talking about this young man that killed this family of 7 people. And I think he got 20 or 30 years, but they reduced that. And he had been given, that's his 4th or 5th DWI. 4th or 5th DWI, but money caused him to be let loose. It's prevalent in this state, it's prevalent in this nation, that the wicked it prosper. Those that have, that's what's wrong with our political system. When the Supreme Court passed that Citizens United or whatever that law, people are trying to buy elections and everything. And it was going on even during Amos' time. Listen to what Amos says. It says, "For I know the vast number of your sins and the depths of your rebellion. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, he who is prudent and has insight will keep silent at such a time as a corrupt and evil time as this, for it is an evil time when people will not listen to the truth and will disregard those of good character. Do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the justice of the Lord of God of heaven's army will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Seek, long for, require good and not evil, that you may live, and so may the Lord God of hosts be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, that is, to those who remain after God's judgment. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there is wailing in all public plazas, and in all the streets they say, alas, alas. And they call the farmers to mourning for those who have died. And in all the vineyards there's wailing, for I will pass through the midst of you with judgment. Woe, judgment is coming to you who desire the day of the Lord, expecting rescue from a man, from the men, from the world, from things. So all those people that are looking for this guy to get elected as president, they're looking for a hand to come from man, that man's to bring forth peace. All those that are in churches that are looking for the rapture and looking for all this, you bet it's woe unto you that desires that day, because it's going to be a time of evil. It's not going to turn out the way you think it is, because you within yourself has become wicked or evil, and you don't understand the justice of God. I was telling sisters earlier about somebody that stole my weed eater off my truck when I was at home at Walmart or when I was somewhere else, but they came and taking it off the back of my vehicle. And I prayed to God, and I still pray to God and talk to God. That's who God's listening at this day of time. Those who mourn and sigh for all the wickedness that's going on. And the police are so busy and so corrupt, there's too many claims for them to track down the thief or the evildoer. A lot of times in having it in the neighborhood and watching, some of the neighborhoods are so corrupt as your very neighbors who's stealing from you. But in this day and time, a lot of people say, well, what they would do to this person and do them this, and how they would hurt this person, and that's what they're looking at in this political election. How secure would this individual make us when he go and bomb and kill this person and do that? I'm glad that's not in my hands. I'm glad that there is a God that judges people. Maybe it's good that I didn't catch it, didn't know, or didn't have that at the time of the person who stole from me. Because God is the avenger of all such wrong. See, once He justifies you, you get to start allowing God to bring His just judgment, because I don't know what would be just for that person that stole from me. He don't know the problems that he caused for me. But only God can bring the proper punishment for him. So we learn not to take vengeance when we learn of God's justice, when we learn of God's wrath. See, the Jews hadn't learned that, and God had raised up Pharaoh, he had raised up the wicked and evil people for such times as that. In that God had left these type people in the land. You read of that in Judges, the 3rd chapter, where he had left the wicked in the land to prove and test the children of God who had not been through the same thing their parents had been through. Who had not been through it. That's why a lot of the evil people and the wickedness is left in the world, to test, approve, to teach our young people to war, to teach them to fight. You see, now, they would be better equipped or better prepared if they would get advice from their parents or advice from godly people or follow God, they would be more equipped to fight the battle. But a lot of them could be overcome because they're not learning to fight in a godly manner. And a lot of them are learning religion, but they're learning the wrong religion. They're learning someone else's religion, and they're forsaking the gods of their parents. They're forsaking the true and living God. You see, a lot of people say, well, I have to experience that for myself. Yeah, but no also. Because sometimes you can learn from people teaching and preaching to you. You don't have to go to jail to learn that you shouldn't steal. You don't have to have your life messed up and saddled with a bad marriage or bad children if you took somebody's advice on not to company or you not to be unequally yoked. So we have to see that God had justified even the Gentiles who believe upon Him. That God chose who He was going to save. And that God has a saved people that are made right with Him, and that He had made us as judges. And that we should save ourselves from this untoward generation. So what we have to do is start to listen and plead and go toward God. We're not saved by works. And God's going to avenge us. He's going to avenge those that don't understand the wrath and mercy of God through the law courts. Because a lot of times you're not going to find justice in the courts. But you can't fight against authority in the way you want to physically fight against authority, because God's word says, be subject to man, be subject to God's authority that He had placed in government. So I don't teach you to be rebellious against politicians, against the police, against orders. But I do say, watch out, because all men carry around evil within them, and there's corruption and all. And that the only way that you could sustain or live is through Jesus Christ. That you will suffer wrong a lot of times. But ask God how to get through that wrong that you're suffering. In other words, don't go out and try to avenge yourself because somebody stole from you or treated you wrong or did this or that. You come to the house of God as Asaph did. Don't lose your footing. You come pray to God and get His understanding of how to handle a matter and place that up on Jesus Christ. Let Him take vengeance. You learn of Him. Be meek and humble as He was.
He know how to pay back those who do this against. He said, he who had did this to the least of mine have done it unto me. So that person stole from you. In the book of James, it talks about the Lord of Sabaoth avenging himself over the people that had held back the wages of the laborers. That's what they kind of fighting for now, the raising of minimum wage. So as you talking to God, don't go out and quit your job. That's what I told you. I was talking with someone. Don't just quit your job because they're not paying you right. It seems like you can't make ends meet and it's no use and it seems as vanity and vexation of spirit in us. Hold on now. You're going to violate the word of God because he says he that does not work is less than an infidel. Then if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. But you need to go plead your case to God. Now those that employ us that are not treating you right, they're maybe not paying you a fair day's wage. They're not paying you a living wage. You let that be put in God's hand, but don't just jump up and quit that job and not take care of your responsibilities. You have to learn and understand that God has to fight your battles. You put that in Christ's hand. You thinking of self, your body's the sacrifice. When God comes to that person, what's God avenging that person for? And a lot of times, they might put you to death. They put Naboth to death. But how else could a person as wicked as Jezebel and Ahab look at God's vengeance? He allowed Ahab to be killed in battle. An arrow just shot at a venture. Shot Ahab and hit him the only place in his armor that could have killed him. The dogs licked the blood of Jezebel, didn't leave nothing but the palms of her hands, her feet and her head skull. How else? See, that's vengeance from God. God repays that. A lot of times people, I'll kill him and I'll dig him up and I'll kill him a second time. Well, you couldn't do all that, but then you become the evildoer. That's why I say I don't watch television or whatever and all these things because it teaches you to be the evildoer. There's a long running show that's been on Law and Order SUV. I think I've watched it once or twice and me and my daughter was watching it one time and I turned it off. I say the police and the people on here just as wicked as the people that's doing the killing and the raping. That what keeps those shows running is how they treat the wicked or evil person. They become evil themselves dealing with an evil and wicked person. They take a person that's done some heinous crime that can rape or kill a little child or molest somebody or did something awful. But by you being carnal or fleshly, the way television appeals to you is that those people get rid of those people in some of the worst ways and do some of the worst things. But what has happened in that process? Satan has turned you into an avenger yourself, into an evil and wicked person in yourself to satisfy the flesh. You let God wreak that vengeance on that person. You keep your hands off of them. You let God do those things. That's why David, he never did try to kill Saul. He said, touch not my anointing. Because God says, he who kills and spills man's blood shall himself be killed and his blood shall be spilled. So David said, perhaps he'll die in battle, perhaps something else happened to him, but he won't die by my hands. Stop trying to take vengeance. You don't understand God and know of God if you start trying to take vengeance. If you still trying to take vengeance over people, you hadn't learned that vengeance belonged to God. Anybody else that become bitter and paying back tat for tat with somebody don't know of God. If somebody did you evil and wrong, if you going down the street slandering them and belittling them and defaming their name and gossiping about them or whatever, you hadn't learned God. If you become bitter over something somebody did to you and grudgeful and hate, you hadn't learned God. See, he come to set you free from those things. And who the Son set free, who the Son makes free, is free indeed. He didn't bring you to that you would learn evil, but he taught them how to fight. He taught them how to walk. That's what we have to do. We have to learn how to fight a spiritual fight. Like, that's what I said. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual wickedness in high places, even though sometimes those spiritual forces and things use individuals, use wicked and evil individuals. But you need the discernment of God who to leave alone and who not to talk to. You need the discernment of God when to say something to somebody and when not to say something to somebody. That's why it says the prudent would keep silence. It's no use you saying something about this and saying something about that, pleading your case to that man or that individual, and they're not going to do anything anyhow. They're just as corrupt as you. And they're more even corrupt because by you not being purged, you hadn't placed it in God's hands. You see, now, I was looking at this on the job. I was looking at this with Joseph. What made Joseph a man after God's own heart? You know why his brothers didn't like Joseph? And I heard one lady teacher that's famous, one of the teachers, was saying that Joseph was a talented. He would always go back, tell it on his brothers and everything. That's because Joseph was just and Joseph was righteous. But preachers and people nowadays call that a tattletale or a rat. See, because that living sacrifice is that you have to stand up for what's right. You have to stand up and do your job. You can't allow evil to proceed. If you're in authority and someone does something that's not right, if you're in a position or place that you're supposed to say something, you be a partaker of it if you cover it up. If you don't say anything, the scriptures say, he who bell with strife don't belong to him. Yeah, but you were put in the middle of that strife. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. There's a time to speak and a time not to speak. See, when the man came to Jesus, Jesus perceived something wrong with this guy. He says, Lord, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. But by Jesus knowing God's word, by him being led by the Spirit of God, he says, who had made me a ruler, a judge over thee? Who had made me that over you? To tell this person to give that person some of their belongings to you. But in still in the same vein, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him, what should he do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, well, you take everything you got and sell it and give the money to the poor. He didn't tell him he wasn't a judge or a ruler. He told him to sell everything you got and give it away. See, because he was able to read the individual, he seen that that person was covetous, that that person was self-righteous, as a lot of people in religion is today. Because he came up to Jesus with works. He came up to Jesus as a church man, as a religious man. He says, I know the law and I've kept these since my youth up. But Jesus didn't dispute he had kept the law from his youth up. He didn't say that, no, you hadn't kept the law. He just hit him with this one. He's seen that this was a covetous person. He's seen that this person, he wasn't quite ready yet. He's seen something in him. That's why I said, God leads you and guides you. And so Jesus hit him where the cross, where the crooks mixed the road at. In other words, something that he would have to make a sacrifice. He said, sell what you have and give it to the poor. He couldn't part with his goods. He couldn't part with all that stuff. You know, there are some lines some people not willing to cross. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be like the rest of the people and get a fame for giving. But what God did to them, they thought that they were going to get a paltry amount for their field, what they were going to say. But instead of them getting the correct amount, the amount that they thought they would get, God blessed them so that they would get probably 5, 6, 7, 8 times more
than they would go get for that property. Now, if they was going to get $4,000 for that property, they was going to give God $400. They was going to give him maybe $600 to $800. But everybody knew what it was worth. But then if they got $20,000 for that property, if they got $20,000 for that property, they didn't want to up $2,000 or $3,000. They didn't want to up $4,000 or $5,000 because they probably would assume in their heart people don't realize how much we got for it. We will say we got this amount, and that looks like what should be the tithe off of it. We give them $600 and property is worth $4,000, and they go say, well, they gave more than the tithe. So that's why tithe is given, because it's a percentage. It's not an amount. It's a percentage. And that's why God struck them dead. You see, God knows where you live in. See, justice, when God justifies you and puts you in perfect standing with him, then you repent and turn from what you once did. Your way of living. That's coming to the knowledge and understanding of God. This has to go on now. This has to go on. Justification is a one-time process, but it leads to understanding and learning. Those that are not continuing in that path of understanding and learning hadn't really been justified. That's why they didn't receive rest. They're not trying to learn of Christ. They're still trying in their own power and might. These are the professors of faith. They could have been in church for many a year, but they have never seen the light. Because those God saved, those God justified, he brings them to completion. None shall be lost. So if you see somebody that was once walking with God and they're no longer walking with God, they may have been a professor, but they never were saved. They were never actually children of God. It's impossible to renew it under repentance. So justification. When God justifies us, we start longing more for God, hungering and thirsting after God, walking in his word, and we start the sacrifice, our time, our lives, everything. We die to self. It's a process that's a lifetime, because justification starts the process of salvation. So just because you're placed right in God, that means you align with God, and then you start walking in his laws. That process is circumcision. When he writes his laws on your heart, when he go write the laws on your heart, and you go follow his commandments, you go do those things. It's not a process of where you become a legalist. It's a process of developing a new nature. And that old man, that old nature, you will crucify it. You will die to self. You will die to those things. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, but you have to be aware that that old man is still there. You still got evil in you. You still capable of committing evil. That's why it says a just person will fall several times. In other words, seven is a number of completion. In other words, whatever it takes for God to perfect you, it's going to happen that number of times. When he told Peter 70 times seven, he wasn't giving him a definitive number. He's saying whatever it takes for God to strengthen and make your character perfect, that's what you're going to go through. That's what you're going to go through. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's working a process in us that it's his job to complete. He's the author and the finisher. We don't determine what we could go through, but we have to live by faith. Whatever God tosses at us, we know that we can take. He's not going to lay anything on us that we can't bear. We see the sovereignty of God. That way we're able to face troubles knowing that he says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a home for me on high. There's a place in Christ for me. I'm going to be glorified with him. So whatever pain I'm having, he's allowing me. He's right there with me in the pain. He's right there with me in the affliction.
whatever I'm going through, he's right there in the flames with me. He was right in the flames with the Hebrew boys. You, whatever burden you have, bring it to him. Bring it to him and cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for us. So, if we are justified, we start to learn and understand God, and it gives us rest. It gives us peace, and it gives us joy. It gives us joy. So, that's it. If I want to leave you on a note there, it's just that justification does bring rest. It does bring rest. It places you in a spot where you can hunger for God, and that you have that rest. He will give you that peace and joy. That's what Habakkuk said, though the storms, though the stall, the ox is not in the stall, the olive trees are not bearing anything, though your life may be in turmoil, all kinds of calamities are happening, you know you're justified with God. You ready to go at any time. Job said, he was lay him in the grave, but he know he would stand before God one day. Because you are a servant of the Lord. Nothing shall separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. That's justification. You being made right with God. And if you do that, you're a child of Abraham. Because children of Abraham, Jew or Gentile, believe by faith. That's what it is. Believing God. Having faith in God. And with that faith, that faith overcometh the world. That's the word of faith. The faith that overcometh the world. We have that faith in Jesus Christ. It imputed and he gave it unto us, and we're able to use it, and we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.